to the premiere edition of the Pulling No Punches podcast. I'm Sean Conboy, and I'm here with my good buddy Mike P., and we're going to be talking hockey today. We've got the Penguins and Hurricanes series coming up on Monday, and despite winning two grueling series in Philly and Washington, the Canes should pose a big test for the Pens. P., let's talk Pens-Canes. My big question is, does Cam Ward scare you? He's probably the hottest goalie in the league right now and the best goalie left in the playoffs.
I think the most interesting part of this series is going to be the goalie duel, because Fleury kind of stole the series in Philly, really. With he had some pretty clutch performances.
But he was soft against Washington. I mean, let's say he was soft against Washington. He made some decent saves. I mean, the one glove save in Game 6 on Ovechkin was fantastic, pretty much forced overtime. And then in Game 7, he had another phenomenal glove save on the breakaway. But other than that, I thought he was pretty soft. His rebound control was really poor.
I don't think there's anyone in Pittsburgh that's going to argue that Fleury doesn't give up big rebounds, but Cam Ward's never lost a playoff series, and he's
exactly
a stud.
He's 6-0 in the playoff series. The Hurricanes won the Cup in 2006, and he was actually the playoff MVP, had a phenomenal series, and then they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, and he's yet to lose a playoff series. I think he's a big-game goalie. He was incredibly hot down the stretch in the regular season for the Canes as well. Yeah.
The thing about Carolina is, have they played anyone that has really the talent and depth that Pittsburgh has? I mean, Boston, yeah, they had a great start to last season, but they reminded me of Montreal from last year in almost every conceivable way.
That's
just
right.
A lot
I mean,
of overachievers.
The point is this. Mark Savard, Zach Parise, they're good players, and Cam Ward was phenomenal against them, but they're not Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby. I think the Pens, they have a lot more firepower. And Cam Ward's going to have a lot to handle, but the same argument could be made for the Penguins as well. I mean, did they play any elite goaltenders? Because
goaltending-wise, no. Definitely not. Varlamov had some timely saves, but he let in a lot of softies, too. I mean, for every spectacular save, there's one going over the glove. And I think as soon as Pittsburgh started going at his glove, he kind of crumbled in Game 7. We can say that, Pittsburgh's been there before. Maybe it was their poise. But really, they just cracked a young goalie at pretty much the worst time. And I also think, I think Eric Staal's a stud. But when I hear the name Jussi Jokinen, I'm not really shaking in my boots. I mean, he's scoring a lot of goals. He's playing well. But him and Samsonov, I mean, that line's
exactly.
like...
Exactly. Sergei Samsonov, I mean, these are role players that are basically playing out of their heads right now for the Hurricanes. And they really don't have any superstars besides Eric Staal. You have a lot of defensive forwards. Players are going to frustrate the Penguins. I mean, look, this series is not going to be anything like last series. The up-and-down hockey that you saw against Washington, and it was so exciting, you're not going to see it in this series versus the Canes, especially since it starts at Mellon Arena. They're going to trap, and also grind the puck down in the corners when they're on offense.
I hope there's less whining.
You bring up another good point, though. Because, actually, Carolina was one of the more disciplined teams as far as penalties go in the regular season. I don't think you're going to see a lot of special teams in this series. I think as the playoffs go on in the NHL, the refs sort of put the whistles away, especially later in the series. I don't think that special teams is going to have much to do with this. I think the 5-on-5 play is going to be very important. All right, let's go back to Semyon Varlamov real quick. I got to talk about Varlamov because I want to talk about this Capitals series a little bit. I think Varlamov was actually a lot softer than maybe Pens fans realize. I think the Pens got off a little bit easy in that series. The momentum was clearly shifting. Okay, the first two games, we lose. The third game, the Pens are down 1-0, and Varlamov lets up an incredibly soft goal, the five-hole goal, Gonchar slapper from the blue line. And goals like that, the Fedotenko's where he shot it over his glove.
I mean if
those
we're
are momentum shifting goals, right? I mean, these are things that completely can change a game around. And I feel like, Varlamov, he made some outstanding saves. True. But as the series wore on, he looked incredibly tired. In Game 7, when they pulled him, he almost looked relieved. I mean, he almost looked shell-shocked. And I think he was just grinded down by the time the series was over.
I agree somewhat, but that Capitals D was terrible. I mean, who was their best defenseman in that series? Urchina? Cody? I mean, Green had completely terrible. He got benched in a Game 7. I've never seen that with a Norris Trophy candidate.
Well, Varlamov, I'm not saying that he's not going to be a good goaltender. I think he should
have slashed his
brilliance.
I mean, he's young.
Even on a lot of the Penguins' goals, he had stopped the first two shots, and then the third shot was put in just because. What were the offensive forwards for the Caps doing? I mean, a lot of times you'd see the replays, and they weren't, skating back hard to collect the rebounds. That was bad. But my point still stands. I think Varlamov got grinded down so much by the end that a lot of those goals, I mean, the Game 7 was a complete cakewalk. And even in Game 6, I didn't think the Pens played outstanding. I just thought that Varlamov was too tired by that point.
I'm not surprised that he broke down. I mean, he played more playoff games than he has regular season games in the NHL. I mean, that's not a recipe for success. No disrespect to Sidney Crosby. I think he's the greatest player in the world, and I think he's great in front of the net, but he lived in the crease. Like, you can't let a superstar in the NHL just sit in front of your net.
And the Pens aren't going to enjoy that kind of freedom in front of the net against the Canes.
If you're playing any NHL team, like, I can't even imagine playing a team like the Red Wings. You got guys like Samuelson, Franz, and Patrol in the front of the net, and then the Capitals just wanted, they didn't want to play any dirty hockey at all. I mean, it was all highlight goals. Entertaining stuff, but not the stuff of championships.
Sure, I agree. I mean, actually, the Capitals-Penguins series reminded me a bit of the Penguins-Red Wings series in that, clearly, the Capitals had maybe more raw talent and were moving the puck better than the Pens were at a lot of points, but they were really dominated in front of the net. The Pens were crashing the Caps' net really all series long. And can you even think of an instant where Fleury was run in the Caps series? Think back to the Flyer series, how many times players were laying on top of Fleury. Really, the Caps didn't touch him the whole series. And I think they that might have been the key to the whole series. Do you think if they would have had some more people in front of the net, they would have rattled them?
The thing that makes me think about is maybe the biggest turning point in that series was when Crosby took off, when he just basically killed Varlamov, took off his helmet, Varlamov was laying
the
on the ice.
The breakaway game, yeah. You're talking about.
I think that was a turning point. I mean, he had already taken that cross-check from Kunitz earlier, and I think you're going to a guy that doesn't speak any English. He's fresh in the NHL, and you're just kind of abusing him like that. I think after a while, you're kind of nervous in front of the net.
It's a good point. I don't know if it turned the series, but look, it's just kind of a metaphor for the series as a whole. Let's take Crosby's Game 5 breakaway, which he didn't score on, right? He knocked Varlamov's helmet off. He was going hard to the net, whereas Ovechkin's breakaway against Fleury in Game 7, it was a wrister. He wasn't going very hard. I just feel like the Pens were crashing the net in the entire series, and Washington was, everything was along the boards. It was one-timers. It was cross-ice passes. At some point, you have to go east to west.
Yeah. I just think that's all because of the Wing series last year in the finals. I mean, I definitely think that we learned to play in front of the net. And players talk about Crosby's, the fire in Crosby's eyes, but it's weird when you see it as a fan. You can see the intensity on that guy's face. Sure. He just wants it so bad. I'm sure he wanted it bad last year, but this is just a whole new level.
I see it a lot in the Carolina Hurricanes as well, though, in the Boston series and in the New Jersey series. Carolina came down from a one-goal deficit
great fans,
in Game 7 of the New Jersey series, and they ended up winning it in regulation with a pair of goals in about a minute 30. They don't quit, and they're not going to quit against the Penguins. I think even if the Pens go up 2-0 in this series, I see it going 6 or 7 games, and I know you disagree.
I just think the Pens are so much more talented. I think Eric Staal's a stud, don't get me wrong, but Eric Cole, Brindamore's old. Like they have a lot of good defensive forwards. I'll give them that. I mean, they're going to play a lot tougher than I think any team we've played thus far. I mean, Philly's takes a lot of cheap shots and a lot of runs and like to fight, but I don't think they're as disciplined hockey-wise at back-checking, forechecking, just pretty much patrolling the corners the way the Canes do. I mean, you watch that Boston series, man. The Canes own the corners.
They have a ton of grit, but let's throw out some names. Jussi Jokinen, Scott Walker, Joe Corvo, Boris Morozov, Sergei Samsonov. Now, four of those five names are Carolina Hurricanes players, and one's completely made up. But I bet most people out there couldn't pick the one out of the lineup that's made up. I mean, they're a gritty team, and they're very disciplined. Are they going to beat the Penguins? Probably not. I think they're going to give us fits.
Anytime you have a stud goalie, you have a chance. When you have a guy like Lundqvist, you can win a series just on that. I mean, when you have a guy like Cam Ward, I don't know if he's as battle-tested, but you can't get much hotter. Other than Hobby Bowen, I think he's the best goalie left in the playoffs right now.
Here's my question. Does Sidney Crosby cool off without Ovechkin pushing him?
No.
He's been on a complete tear, but does he cool off a little bit?
I just think the best example I can give is the first goal in Game 7 when Crosby scored and he just didn't, I mean, he didn't react. I mean, not to say he didn't care, but he just wants it. He wants more. He just wants to keep going. I think last year when we got to the finals, I think there might have been just we were jubilant. I mean, we hadn't been there in a while. Everyone was so young. I mean, I just don't think we were ready to grind it out with the Wings. I think this year, I don't want to look past the Canes, but bring on the Wings, man. I want to play them again.
Speaking that's of a the dream. Wings, that's a dream. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I don't want 96.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but let's just think for a minute. I mean, how sweet would it be if Mariano Rosa played the Penguins in the finals, and the Pens won the Cup, and he had to skate through that line and look Sidney Crosby in the eye? Would he beg for the Pens to take him back?
But he's a hockey. They say he's from a hockey family. Like, he lives, breathes, eats everything hockey. It's all about hockey.
Exactly. Right? So how sweet would it be if the Pens won after he defected to Detroit to win a Cup? I mean,
I agree.
Get any better than that.
I think Hose is great, and I can't really imagine him and Sidney playing together for how long was that deal? 6 or 7 years? I mean, they would have probably. I mean, Hose would have finished his career Pen.
He would have won a Cup eventually.
I mean, there's no way you're going to... Would we have been able to keep Stahl? Could we have brought in a guy like Guerin at the end of the year? I mean, we definitely couldn't have traded for Kunitz. He makes like 3-5 a year.
Plus, is Marian Hossa that big of a playoff performer? I don't know. This playoffs, he hasn't been that outstanding. He's actually kind of invisible in the series against Anaheim because Anaheim is a very physical team. And he kind of
so is Datsyuk. I mean, Datsyuk didn't have a goal. I mean, Hossa had that game, though, with Franz, and when they each had 2 goals and really... kind of took the Wings out of the dregs when they really could have let that series go. I mean, I think Host is a stud. I think he's better. I think he's better than Pavel Datsyuk, to tell you the truth. I mean, I like Datsyuk, and he puts up pretty good regular season numbers. But somehow, every time I watch a series, yeah, he has an impact, but not like Zetterberg, not like Franz, and not like Holmstrom, not like Hossa. But to get back to Hossa, I would love to see him sitting on the boards like he was for the Pens when the Wings beat us last year. I can't think of something that would make me happier. Yeah,
sure. But look, you spoke about the fire in Sidney Crosby's eyes, and I think you can see that. But do you see the same in Evgeny Malkin's eyes? Is there something missing there? It doesn't seem like he's as determined. Can you rattle Malkin? You clearly can't rattle Crosby. The more you try to get to him, the better he plays. I think you can rattle Malkin a bit.
I think when you have a leader like Crosby that plays the way he does, I think that Malkin understands that he can be like a secondary player and not have to be the guy every night. I think playing with Talbot's helped him a lot just because, and Fedotenko said this, and I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, Fedotenko can spend more time on offense, which is letting him just shoot. I mean, the guy's got a good shot, and Talbot takes care of the defense on the back end. So I think that's a better combination than what we had. And
do you think it's a better combination, though, than the possibility of Fedotenko, Malkin, and Chetan?
I love having 7 defensemen. A lot of people are going to disagree with me, but when you have 2 centers as good as Crosby and Malkin, and then even Stahl, you can double shift those guys. I mean, they don't get as much playing time as Ryan Getzlaff gets every game.
Well, that worked for 2 games in the Capitals series. Is that going to work over the course of a whole series? I mean, what we're talking about here, for those that might not know, is, I mean, usually NHL teams have 12 offensive players, 4 lines of 3, and the Pens have actually been going with 1 less offensive player and essentially double shifting a center every time. So Crosby and Malkin are getting more ice time, and they're using an extra defenseman. So basically, situationally, they'll use a player like Gonchar, who's hurt on the power play, but they won't use him as much on 5-on-5 situations defensively. Now, I can see that working for 2 games in a row, but I just think the offense is going to get too worn out over the course of a 7-game series. It'll be interesting to see how Dan Bylsma handles that. The point still stands, though. The Pens are clearly going to try to overpower the Canes with offensive firepower, okay?
Yeah.
Now, Peter Sikora racked up tons of goals with Malkin in the regular season, and Fedotenko's doing it now. Mm-hmm. Do you sub Chetan in for Talbot? Do you really need that defensive player on the ice with Malkin and Fedotenko? I feel like Fedotenko is pretty defensively responsible anyway. I just feel like Chetan could explode right now. He looked fantastic in those last couple games of the Capital Series. Seems like his shot's back. And that would be a heck of a line of goal scorers, those three together.
I like it in theory, but the thing is, when they changed the line in Game 3, that's when Malkin really came to life in that series. Do you want to break up that chemistry? I think you let it go until it stops working. I love Chetan. I think he's playing great. I mean, I didn't love him earlier in the year. I don't think anyone in Pittsburgh loved him. But talk about a turnaround. I mean, guy goes down to the minors for a couple weeks, comes back. It's like he has a whole new lease on
life. I was very surprised how well he handled it emotionally as well. I mean, usually foreign players, they say, take that kind of thing as a sign of disrespect, being sent down to the minors. And maybe that speaks to Sidney Crosby's leadership as well.
I mean, if you're paying me $3.5 million a year, you can disrespect me all you want. All right, but on another note, Con, who do you think has the better in-game crowd in this series, Pittsburgh or Carolina?
Oh, definitely Carolina. I mean, I'm sorry to all the Pittsburgh fans out there.
No, I agree.
The Pens fans are great, and I think they're very knowledgeable about hockey, but I don't know if they've been priced out or something this year or what, because the Capital Series, I thought the presence of the fans was really disappointing, and I'm kind of sick of the whiteouts and the towels. I mean, just make some noise, people. The Carolina fans are pretty excellent. I think they're one of the best groups of fans in the league as far as actually when they're in the arena. They're super loud, and you wouldn't think a fan base from the South would be that into it, but they're pretty decent hockey fans down there. I kind of look at it like this. It's almost like European soccer. European soccer crowds are great, and they add to the atmosphere because they cheer all the little things. They don't just cheer the goals. You know, let's say a player, dives and steals the puck off someone or just blocks a shot, the fans in European soccer would erupt, and the Canes fans are kind of similar. They really cheer the little things. It's stuff like that that I felt the Pens fans have done in the past, but this year they're not doing so much. I mean, the Max Talbot plays where he puts his body on the line. The fans don't seem to be into it unless we're scoring goals. I don't know if this is some kind of Stanley Cup hangover thing, some sort of, sense of kind of like entitlement, like we're going to the Cup no matter what. I don't know. They should be woken up after the Cap series, but, man, when we go down to Carolina, that crowd's going to be roaring.
Yeah, we're smashing TV ratings for Fox Sports. We had the highest-rated NHL game ever 3 times in a row. On FSN. So.
Let me ask you a controversial question. Yeah. This might tick people off. Are there too many business people at these games? I mean, not that business people, they could be some of the best fans, but I felt like back when the Pens had Student Rush and it was strong 2 years ago, those crowds were crazy, and now I see a lot of polo shirts in the crowd.
Yeah, I miss the guys with the big beards, the jerseys,
the mullets,
screaming, the mullets. You need those hardcore fans that are going to make noise all the time. I mean, people want to watch the games, but if you're not going to be excited and be in the crowd.
I think there's a big difference between the Penguins fans, like you said, who are watching on television. They have excellent ratings, the online presence.
Even the fans outside watching the screen.
Exactly.
Crazier.
It just makes me think that people have been priced out, especially in the playoffs. I mean, playoff tickets are extremely expensive. I saw them going on Craigslist for Game 6 for, I think, $450 for, like, C-level tickets. So, I mean, that's, in this economy, that's incredible. Yeah. And I do worry because, I mean, have you seen the plans for the Console Energy Center, the Penguins' new arena?
More boxes.
So many more boxes. And it's kind of overboard. I mean, is it a hockey game or a banquet? It's a little bit ridiculous. Plasma screens everywhere. Bars in the VIP areas. I think that I'll miss Mellon Arena. As run down as it is, I'm going to miss those burn orange seats and, the permanent smell of just popcorn and cotton candy and the dinginess of it.
That's what the smell was.
Or the cotton candy. Yeah. Or the cotton candy guy, maybe. That
hopefully he'll still be around. I think they're gonna transfer him over.
He's a legend. They have to
transfer. Yeah, I mean, all you Pens fans
wait,
out
hold
there.
On. They might not know. You got to do the impersonation.
No.
You have to do the impersonation.
No,
I don't think they know.
Can't, but
good guinea!
This is a call to all you Pens fans out there that are going to the games. Be loud. Scream. It's playoff hockey. We're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right. Well, let's talk about the West. Potential opponents for the Pens in the Stanley Cup Finals if we're fortunate enough to beat the Canes. What do you think?
We're not getting ahead of ourselves here. I don't think anyone's beating the Wings. I think Anaheim had the best shot. They had so many good defensemen. Detroit just plays the front of the net so well, and they have such a solid defensive core.
Sure, but Chicago has quite a few big guys that could crash the net as well. I think it's going to be
Laughlin, yeah.
I think it's going to be more of an interesting series than people realize. Yeah,
Hobby Bullen's playing great. He's so underrated right now. No one's really talking about Hobby.
Sure, he wasn't the starting goaltender for most of the year, even in the Winter Classic game, which was January.
On waivers at the beginning of the year. You think about that now. Who doesn't pick up Hobby Bullen for half price for a full season? If you're the Kings or anyone, how can you pass on that?
Right.
This guy's really turned it around, and I think he's better than Osgood.
I mean, forget the Kings. How about playoff teams like the Canadians who didn't pick him up? Even as a backup,
they had a good Halleck. I don't want to count Chicago out because everyone keeps counting them out.
I counted them out from the beginning. I thought they were too young. I kind of thought like they were the Penguins from 2 years ago, the team that got swept by the Senators. I just thought they were too young, but man, they just keep proving me wrong.
They got some good leaders. I mean, Kane and Tatum are great, but I think guys like Sharp, who really is having a great postseason, Havlat really gives them a lot of energy.
I think last year people were talking about that was a terrible signing, and now, I mean, it's paying huge dividends, and I hear Chicago fans always talking about when are we going to re-sign Havlat.
They have a lot of talent and a lot of grit, like said Bufflin.
Yeah, Bufflin's, he's huge.
Power forward.
How much does he weigh, like 280? He can play the front of the net.
270 or 280.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a big dude. But can you dislodge Franzen and Cromwell from the front of that crease? Because they own it. They absolutely live in the blue paint. That's what makes Detroit so good. I think Zetterberg, Datsyuk, those guys are great. They have great skill guys, but it's those gritty forwards
that
they have.
For them this year, sure.
And that Erickson kid on D is just a horse. 6'4", sure. 220, huge.
It's amazing how they've had the talent keep coming through the pipeline in Detroit like that.
I forget where it was. Maybe on the NHL Network they were talking about Holland says he likes to have players that are overripe. They like to bring players up from the minors when they're way past ready.
Right. Well, their average age is the oldest in the NHL. It's crazy. It's something like 31 years of age on the Red Wings.
Chelios just throw that off by 20 years there.
So. He's like 55.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can beat Lindstrom or Falski. The only defensive pairing that was better in the playoffs was Niedermeyer Prom.
Can the Penguins beat him this year, though? Osgood's looked a bit shaky, right?
They're allowing a goal more a game in the regular season, and they're allowing a goal more a game in the playoffs than they were last year. So. Yeah.
I think the Pens can do it this year. I think we have more of a presence in front of the net. What would push us over the edge is if Jordan Staal can get his big behind in front of the net and use his body more.
Here's something. Maybe playing against Eric Staal, maybe that's the kick in the butt Jordan Staal needs. Maybe playing against his brother is what's going to bring out the best from him. I mean, we're gonna hear about it all the time. He's probably going to play against the first line. They're going to be compared. We're going to see their pictures plastered next to each other in stat lines, but... I mean, he scores 3 or 4 goals in this series. Wow, that would be great.
The Canes' problem is this. If let's say that is the matchup. It's going to be the Staal-Kennedy-Cook line defensively matched up against Eric Staal's line. The problem that the Canes have is that they don't really have a defensive specialty line. That line is... The Eric Staal line is probably their best line all around. So if they match them up against our third line, who's going to cover Crosby and Malkin's line? It's pick
you can't point. Put you can't put Brendan Moore. He's one of the greatest defensive forwards of all time. Oh, but no. You want to put Brendan Moore on
they'll
Crosby?
Run,
I'll take it any
ragged.
Day. I mean, yeah,
he's ragged, sure.
I don't think this isn't 10 years ago. He's a great player, but can you really put him on Crosby? I don't think the Canes have a line we're going to say that's the shutdown line. But I think collectively their D is so good.
I think the only chance the Canes have in this series is if actually they try to get the matchup of Crosby's line against Staal's line and try to possess the puck, because that line is very good at possessing the puck. And if they can keep the puck in our end, I think that's really the only shot that they have.
One more underrated aspect of these Penguins is our defenseman.
Orpik,
Skuderi, Eaton. I mean, Eaton's contributing on both ends. He's second in the league in block shots. Progress first. Yeah, in the playoffs, of course. And then you look at third and fourth, it's Skuderi and Orpik. We have three guys in the top four of block shots. Guys are putting the body on the line. This team wants it.
Absolutely.
This team definitely wants it. And you can't take away from a guy like Eaton. If we didn't have Eaton in these playoffs, we'd even be around.
I hear the talk in the national media that the Canes have a better defense than us, and that's one of their strengths. They're giving the Canes goaltending and defense, and they're giving the Penguins the edge in strength and offense. I think that's a little bit ridiculous. I think a lot of the national media focuses on Crosby and Malkin and doesn't realize how deep our defensive core is.
Skuderi's a great, great defensive specialist.
And a great penalty killer.
Yeah, Hal Gill's one of the best penalty killers. He's a little slow, but if I was that big, I'd probably be... pretty slow, too.
If I was that big, I would never get out of that.
Yeah.
I would never have the strength to get out of my Tempur-Pedic, man.
Yeah, I'd just end up being world's fattest man, maybe second fattest.
Good points all around. Pete, give me your prediction for this series, and give me one sentence. What do you think swings the series?
All right, my prediction, I'll go Pens in 3. No, Pens in 5, though, seriously. Pens in 5. I think it's going to be a pretty lopsided series. You can't play... 2 series going both to game 7. I just don't. Does Carolina have it in the tank? Maybe Cam. I think Cam Ward steals a game, but I think the Pens have too much firepower. As for a key to the game, I think the key to this series, and an underrated key, is going to be can Kunitz. He's doing all the little things, but can he get on the score sheet? Bill Guerin's playing great. Crosby's playing out of his mind. We're going to need Kunitz. Maybe not in this series, but maybe we will. And if not, we're definitely going to need him down the line. So I'm looking for Chris Kunitz to step up in this series.
I'm going to go Pens in six, and I'll give you three words why that it'll last that long. I think we're clearly the more talented team. I think the offensive firepower will be too much for the Canes. But Marc-Andre Fleury. And that's that. That's all I have to say. I mean, he was lackluster in the second round, and if that continues, I think this series could stretch out. All right, it was great talking hockey with everybody, but it's time to get out of here. Thank you very much for listening. Be sure to check out my blog, where we'll keep you informed about the Pens all playoffs long. Just go to www.wqed.org/mag/sports. That's wqed.org/mag/sports. For my good buddy Mike P. and all the rest of the Pulling No Punches crew, good night and go Pens.